Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Memchedim and Aleph by the two dots, continuing to discuss the trefot of the lungs. And here the Gemara is discussing the broader aspects of the lungs here, where the lungs are situated in between the ribs. And there's a statement here of Rabbi Yosef bar min Yumei Amar Rav Nachman, Reya hasmucha ledofen. If you have a lung that is somehow stuck or attached to the ribs that surround it, Ein choshishin la, we don't worry about it. We don't assume that the reason it's attached to the rib is because there was a problem in the reya. There was some sort of hole or nekev that caused it to attach to the rib. But we just assume it's because of its natural growth and where it's located that it became attached to the wall. Haltatz machim, on the other hand, if it has ulcers in the location of that attachment or cysts, blisters, then choshishin la, then we worry about it. Because then there's evidence of the fact that there was some sort of liquid or leakage there. Those blisters, ulcers, cysts are caused by a leakage, and that's what caused the attachment to the rib. So where we see evidence of the fact that there could be a problem, then we say you have to check the lungs. On the other hand, if it's just naturally there and we don't see any evidence of the fact that there's a problem, then we assume the fact that it's attached to the rib is not an issue. Mar Yehuda Mishmei Dev Yimei Amar Echad Ze Vechad Ze Choshishin La. It doesn't matter. In either instance, we worry about it, and we're choshesh that there was a problem in the reya. The fact that it's attached to the ribs indicates to us that there was some liquid or something there that allowed them to grow together or stick together. The fact that that happened means that we have to worry that that might have come from a puncture in the lung, and therefore we'll have to do a check. Now, Eichav Dinan, how do we do such a check? When we want to do a check and to figure out whether it's okay or not. Over here we said choshishinla. Choshishinla means we worry about it. But worry about it means, now what? So this is what we do. Amar Rava, Rabin Bar Shava Asavrali. Rabin Zarva explained to me, Maitin and Sakina de Chalish Pume. We bring in a knife that has a very, very sharp blade, small and sharp blade, Varkinila, and then we peel it off. We separate out the lungs from the walls or from the ribs. Iika Riuta B'dofen. If we see that there's a problem in the rib or in that area, if we see there's some sort of wound, there's some growth that is on the rib or that area surrounding the flesh surrounding the rib, then we assume talin and batar dofen. We assume the reason that the lung is attached to the wall surrounding it, the flesh or the rib, is because of the problem that's generated from the wall side or from the rib side. And there it's no trefa. So we assume that the lungs are totally healthy, and the reason they're attached to the rib or to the wall is because of the liquid from the external liquid that came and caused it to attach. Vilo machmatreyahu. If not, if we don't see anything wrong with the walls or the ribs, then we assume that it was the lung that generated the problem, v'trefa. And then it's a trefa. V'afa gavdolo mafka zika. Even when if you inflate it now, it doesn't allow air to pass through it. Nevertheless, it's still a trefa. Because we assume that there might have been a hole, and that hole got covered up by the hardening of a liquid or the sircha being attached to the wall. But that's not a cover, as we said before, that when something grows up or scabs over, that's not considered to be a good enough cover, good enough protection against the hole. Tosfot over here suggests that this checking process that we have over here is only in a case, hainu shelo haltat tzmachim. That's only when there was no growth over there. If there was a growth that was there, then there's nothing to speak about. We already have a reyuta, we already have evidence that there's something wrong, and we don't check it. The only checking that we're speaking about here is in the instance where there are no tzmachim, where there is no growth there. And since there's no growth, then we check further to see if we can get evidence that it came from the wall or the outside, versus if we don't know, or we have evidence that it came from the inside, then it'll be problematic. And Rav Nechemia, Breder of Yosef, Badikla B'Pshure. He used to check, after you took it off, he used to put it into warm water and inflate it to check to see if it bubbled up or not. So against what we just said now, that the check is not valuable, over here we have Rav Nechemia Breder of Yosef saying that it is okay to check it, and you inflate it. And if there's no hole there, then it will not be a trefa. Samarle marzutre Breder of Huna, Breder of Popular Ravina. Hader of Nechemia Breder of Yosef, Atun Ahamatintula. You learnt that statement, or that heter of Rav Nechemia Breder of Yosef on the situation here, where the lungs attached to the wall or the rib cage. Anan, we learnt it in this case. The Rava Matanina. He said on the statement of Rava, Dama Rava, Haine Tarte One Direyo. You have two lobes of the lungs, Disarichan Adodi, that are attached together. They have some sort of growth or attachment that went between them. Late Luhu Bidikuta. There's no way to check them. There's no way to check them to make them mutarim, because there could have been a hole there, and the hole could be covered up by the fact that you have the attachment or whatever the growth is that is running between the two lobes. Rav Nechemia, Breder of Yosef, Batiklab Shore. Nevertheless, Rav Nechemia, Breder of Yosef says, you can't. Put it in the warm water, you inflate it, you'll see if there's a hole there. So, Makif Larvashi, I don't understand why Rav Nechemia would say that. Hi, Mai. How do you explain this? Bishlam Ahocha. Over here, the reason that Rav Nechemia would be Mekil is because Talin and Bidolfin. We can say that it was caused by the wall or by the ribcage. Ukshera. So here you have two possibilities of what caused the attachment between the lungs and the ribs or the wall. One is it's caused by the lungs themselves. The other possibility is it's caused by the ribs or the basar, the flesh that's around there. So now when I inflate the lungs and I see that the lungs are intact, I'm going to assume that whatever growth came from the other side or outside of the lungs. And that's fine. Avohotam, in the case that Rava was speaking about, where you have two lobes that were attached together through a sircha, ihainakiv trefa, viainakiv trefa, mimonov shach, you have a problem here. One of the two lobes generated the problem and caused this growth or the attachment between them because it came from some sort of liquid discharge from one of the two lobes. And if either one of the lobes has a hole in it, then mimonov shach, it's a trefa. So what's the point of checking? Even if you see there's no hole there, you can inflate it without having air escape, that doesn't mean that it's ksheira, because there must have been a hole at some point in one of the two lobes. Umi amar Rav Nachman hochi. Did Rav Nachman really say such a thing? Which is what we said before, Re'as smucha da dofen in choshishim la. Haltatz machim choshishim la. Did he really say that? V'hamar Rav Yossi bar Mnume amar Rav Nachman. So it's the same memra, it's the same Amoraim quoting Rav Nachman. Re'a shin nikva. If you have a lung that is punctured, vidofen sot mata, and the wall, the rib cage, closes it in, covers up the hole, ksheira. So over here, before he said to us, well, if it's rea smucha ledofen, ein choshishin la, over there when it's dvuka letzvalot, and then also over here, all of a sudden we have Rav Nachman saying that if a dofen closes up the hole, then we don't worry about it at all. As Rashi points out, da'latat smachim choshishin la. That before Rav Nachman said that if there was a growth there, we worry about it. Michlal, we can affirm that deep shitalan de nikva areya, that if we knew for certain that the lung had a puncture in it, lo mahani la stimat adofen, the wall wouldn't help. The only reason that it works before is because we assume that the contribution of the attachment came from the ribs or the flesh around it, not from the lungs. But if we knew for certain that the lungs had been punctured and then been sealed up, sounds like from the previous memra, that we would say that's a treifa. Yet over here, Rav Nachman's explicit and says that if you have nikev, the reya, and then the dofen, the outer side is covering it up, it's ksheira. It says lokasha. Hatam b'makom revita. Hachashalobim gom revita. One is in the place of its natural growth. One is not in the place of its natural growth. Ve'echa makom revita. Where is the part where it's natural growth? So that's dechituche de'oni. In the place where the lobes are divided. So again, we're going to separate between the upper five lobes and the bottom two lobes. The caudal or the diaphragmatic lobes that are below, the large lobes, they are not included in this. It's the upper five lobes that have the cuts in them. And the reason for that is because the thoracic cavity narrows significantly towards the top of the lungs. And since that cavity narrows significantly to the top of the lungs, it's only natural for those lungs to come into contact with the walls or with the ribs. Whereas down further, the larger lobes, the caudal or diaphragmatic lobes, which are much further down, already by that time, the thoracic cavity has opened up, and it's not necessarily natural for them to be pressed up against the wall. So we assume that if there was a hole, and that got covered up by the walls around it, meaning the ribs or the flesh around it, if it's far enough in the thoracic cavity, we assume that it's going to stay that way and it won't move. Since it's so narrow, and it's pressed in there, we assume that that type of cover will remain and will be a good cover. Whereas if it's further down on the lungs, on the caudal or diaphragmatic lobes, then if it's pushed up against the wall that's covering the hole, we're afraid because it's not so narrow, it can move around and eventually it'll detach and that hole will be problematic and therefore it's a trefa. Now we have Amar Ravina, v'hu desavich bebisra. That's only true if, and now Rashi explains desavich bebisra, means that it's attached to the basar itself, to the flesh itself. So Rashi interprets that to mean that this attachment, when we say that the covering of the hole is sufficient, is only when the upper part of the lungs, the upper lobes, are pressed up against the basar, the flesh, and that causes the attachment. That's when it'll be kosher. But if it was actually attached to the ribs, then that is not the case, because the attachment between the ribs and the lungs isn't as strong as between the lungs and the basar. Between the lungs and the basar is a very strong attachment. It's under pressure, so therefore we believe it'll stay there. That's the way Rashi reads it. Nizbechet v'nechezet areya b'basar, sheben b'tzla'ot, it's between two ribs. Davi stima shrira. It's a very, very strong and permanent covering, delo mifraga. Avo b'tzla'ot atzman in zu sircha kayemet. Whereas when you have some sort of growth or attachment between the lungs and the ribs, that's not something of permanence. That's the way Rashi learned, and he's saying that Ravina is basically modifying Rav Nachman, and in modifying Rav Nachman, he says that this statement, that when they're in their place of growth, it's good enough to cover it up. That's only true, as we just said before, when it's in the upper lobes, which are in the narrow part of the thoracic cavity. And in addition to that, it's only when we find the attachment between the flesh that's in that thoracic cavity, between the ribs, and the lungs. But if it's the lungs and the ribs, that doesn't count. On the other hand, Tosfot brings a number of explanations that he quotes from the Geonim. And he quotes first, "B'tshuvat Rav Sar Shalom Gaon Katav, the Ben Sarich V'Sabich." Whether this item over here is Sabich, which Tosfos calls as Ne'echezet, U'Mesubach Hetev, it's attached very tightly. Sarich is the growth, that is a stringy growth, sinewy growth that's between them. So whether it has the sinewy growth and it's tightly attached to the Vasar, U'Ben Lo Sabich V'Sarich, or even if it's not pressed in tightly, but it has that sinewy attachment between it, k'shera. The whole thing is k'shera. The lech hilchata k'ravina. The reason is because the loch is not like Ravina. Ella k'rav Nachman. The loch is like Rav Nachman and not like Ravina. Umashma we talked about Rav. From what the Rav Sar Shalom Gaon says, that Ravina lo bala for each divish Rav Nachman. Not like what Rashi explained, Ravina is qualifying the statement of Rav Nachman, but rather Ravina is arguing on Rav Nachman. Ella svar den afshe kamar. He's saying his own statement, an independent statement. V'cheni Nero and Tosa says from the continuation of the Gemara, that's what it sounds like. That these are two independent opinions, because we'll have questions on the position of Ravina, but nobody asks on Rav Nachman. If Ravina is really just modifying Rav Nachman, the question should be equally true on Rav Nachman. The fact that the Gemara doesn't ask on both of them shows you that they think they're independent statement. But based on that, he says, so we paskin like Rav Nachman and not like Ravina. And so that means that any attachment is good. As long as it's in the narrow part of the thoracic cavity, the upper lobes, as long as it's attached in any way, that's whether it pressed in tightly to the basar, whether it has this growth that attaches them together, anything like that, whether it's on the rib, whether it's on the basar, all that will be good according to the Rav Sar Shalom Gaon. Now, Tosfos then brings the question, which is, Umiya lo yadina menalish lo yalocha k'ravina. Why shouldn't alocha be like Ravina? Rav Nachman in general is a dayan, and we pass him like him in dinei memononos and dinei dayanot. But over here you have Ravina, who is a batra. B'shemein zeh, Tosfos says, the only thing I can explain here is that maybe this isn't the Ravina, the stama b'chol ha-shas, that was the contemporary of Rav Ashi, who put the shas together. Since he's a batra, we should have passed him like him. It's Rav Nachman and Ravina, we should pass him like Ravina. Tosfos says, I don't understand why you wouldn't paskin like Ravina over here. The only thing I can suggest is maybe this is a different Ravina. And since it's a different Ravina, that's why Rav Sar Shalom went ahead and paskin like Rav Nachman. But then he brings from the Hilchot Treifa, the Rabbeinu Gershom, cut of Dereya Smucha the Dofen, Af B'makom Ribitayu the Oni, even in the place where it's the natural part of the lobes to come up in contact with them, Usrucha Usvucha B'basar Shebin Atzlaot, Obetzlaot Atzman, and it's attached, it's pressed in tightly, and there's the growth or sinewy growth between them, whether it's on the ribs or the flesh that's there. Baktina la benificha. We check them out by blowing, inflating it. Imatzlaot. With the ribs. We take the whole rib cage out and blow in. And we say, well, if it's sealed well there, fine. So we can blow, inflate it, and see. As long as the hole's been covered up, we're good. Oh, gorina basar imasircha. Or we take off the flesh with the attachment on it so that nothing pulls away from the lungs. Nafila, and then we blow and inflate it. So here, the Rabbeinu Gershom is different than Rashi, because he says, number one, it's good both by the basar and its la'ot. Both of them are good. And number two is, he requires an inflation. You have to inflate it to make sure that there's no hole in it, something that Rashi didn't mention. And as Tosfos said at the end, B'kuntris Rashi perish the sabich v'bisra hainu dafka basar shebin atzlaot, abatzlaot atzman lo. On the ribs, it's not. So here you have three different ways to read this Gemara. Rashi and the Rabbeinu Gershom seem to be passing like Ravina. Rashi looks at Ravina as very narrow, only on the basar, it has to be sabich, has to be cut in. The Ravina Gershom is a little more expansive, it has to be sabich and sarich, but his kula is that it can be either on the ribs or on the basar. And you just have to do a check afterwards to make sure there's no hole there that's really covering up the hole. The most makil, of course, is the Rav Sar Shalom, who doesn't paskin like Ravina, paskins like Rav Nachman, and says that everything is fine, whether it's sabich or sarich, whether it's on the tzlaot, whether it's on the basar, everything is fine, because Alocha is like Rav Nachman against Ravina. Now we have a question. Amalei Rav Yosi the Ravina. Vilo sabich. If it's not pressed up against the basar, what would be the din? Mai. Treifa. Of course it's a treifa. You have a hole in the lungs. And if it's not covered up by the basar, of course it's going to be a treifa. Alma. What do we see here? I'm reading the kuvahi. We agree that this lung is punctured. And it's just being covered up by the basar. Iachi. Isabich nami. So too, when it's pressed up against the basar, against the flesh there, Tahatanya, we have a breita. A breita that's not our issue over here, but rather an issue for a kot shivcha. Kot shivcha is someone whose member is somehow damaged that does not allow the semen pass through it. He has a hole in it. Nikev. If there's a hole in it, then he's pasul. Inesha hu shotate. Because the semen cannot be ejaculated properly, it will drip out. Nistam. On the other hand, if it covered up and it was sealed in, kasher, then it's fine because then the semen will not drip out. Bineisho molit, because he can give birth at that point, he's not called a krot shivcha. Therefore, he's allowed to join into Kahal Yisrael. This is something that can make someone pasul, but can be rectified to the point where he can be a kasher again. When we say zehu, this is a person who can have something rectified, or this is a hole that can be covered up and rectified. That's true here. Limute mai. What does that come to exclude? This case, but what other case not? Lav limute ke hai gavno. Isn't it coming to exclude our case here? We have the lungs pressed up against the basar. You have a hole, and we can't rectify it after the fact. If it has a hole in the lung, just because it's pressed up against the basar doesn't make it better. That says, lo. Limute krum, shala machmat makah, bereya deinu krum. So it comes to exclude this case, which we saw on yesterday's daf as well. And if you have some sort of scabbing, some sort of mechanism of healing that happens over a hole, that is not considered to be a seal of the hole. Because since it's not permanent, since it can come off, we don't consider it to be a seal. That's what it comes to exclude. It comes to exclude that case, where it doesn't stay in place and it won't be permanent. That's where we say that the covering of the hole doesn't bring it back to being kosher. Whereas by the case of the member, or by the case of the lungs against the ribs and basar in the front of the thoracic cavity, over there it's something that will stay in place, it's natural growth, and therefore we assume that it will remain covered and in place and not be a problem. What would happen if the wall that is surrounding the lungs was punctured right opposite this hole? My treifa. Then it would be a treifa. Well, then he says, you know what? Now I just found another treifa, and it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. If you're right, that when the wall covers up the hole of the lung, that makes it kasher. And the way it would become pasul now is to have a puncture or a hole through the ribs or through the flesh that surrounds them. Now, if there's just a hole in the ribs or the flesh around them, that's not going to be pasul. But if it's opposite or right directly or opposite that hole of the lungs, then that would be a treifa. So litnei, our Mishnah should enumerate it, nekuvat hadofen, a hole in the sidewall, which would also can possibly create a treifa. Where it says, ulitameich, according to your reasoning, hadar mar vitzach bar Yosef, amar b'yochanan, marash nikva. We had this as one of the shev shmaitata, that if you have a gallbladder that has a hole in it, the kaved sod mata, and the liver covers it over, the kshera, it's not a problem because that's their natural growth. It's a tight seal, and we assume it's fine. Now, ilu inkav kavei lahado, what happens if you have a puncture in the liver opposite the gallbladder where that hole was? Now, in order for the liver to be problematic, you'd have to take away the whole liver or have less than a kazayit left, depending on which mishnah or which tana you go with. But nevertheless, a one hole in the kaved is certainly not a treifa. So my treifa, there it's a treifa. Litnei nikuva the kaved. So then you should say a puncture in the kaved is also problematic. Ela ki nikva delav minei mitrefa loktani. If when it gets a hole in it, it's a treifa not because of itself, because of the contribution of another limb or another organ, then we don't enumerate it in the treifa. So over here, the problem is the lungs. Fact is that the lungs are punctured. The puncturing of the ribs or the sidewall around it, that's only a contribution to the fact that if the lung is already punctured, that also becomes a problematic. And so to here, by the gallbladder. The kaved itself is not problematic, but when the gallbladder is punctured, that's problematic. And if the kaved covers it over and then gets punctured, it's because of the gallbladder there's a problem, not because of the kaved. So therefore, it's not enumerated as a separate treifa. So since here, it's not the contributing factor, is not the hole in the wall or the hole in the kaved, it's the other organ. And so the other organ, we already mentioned those organs in the Mishnah. So Rabba Bar Chana Mishmuel. Rabba Bar Chana had a question for Shmuel. If the lungs grow tzmachim, again, what these tzmachim are, these ulcers, cysts, boils, blisters that grow on the lungs, if they grow on the lungs, mahu, what's the din? So Malik Shira says that they're fine. Now we said before, when it said alta tzmachim, that it's a problem. So Tosafot distinguishes between the two cases, and says the one before was because we saw that it was attached. There was some sinewy growth between where the tzmachim were and the wall. So that was an indication that there was a liquid that had come out or a problem there. Over here, we simply have the bo'ot. We simply have these tzmachim there, but without any evidence that there's a problem. So since we don't have any evidence, we don't worry about them. The other possibility is that the tzmachim that we're talking about here are mugla, that they have pus inside of them. And so it's clear that they're coming up from internally inside of the lungs. Whereas maybe the tzmachim that we're talking about before were dried out, which is an indication that something had been there, or there was a leak or a hole, and then it had dried up after the fact, rather than these, which seem to be still fresh and still moist, and therefore maybe they are from the internal lung and not something that came or punctured through the lung. Amrle Afani Omer Kane, I agree with you. Elisha Talmidim Mizdanzin Badavar. The Talmidim reject it. Dama Rav Matno, because they have this statement from Matno, Malio Mugla Trefa. If the cyst contains pus inside of it, then it's a treifa. Maim zakim. If it has clear water inside of it, then it's ksheira. So they're telling me these tzmachim have pus in them, and therefore they're problematic. So they don't agree with what I'm saying. So Amalei, he responded to him and says, no, the Talmidim are wrong. Hayi bekulyo yitmar. That was said about the kidneys. That statement of the cyst on the kidneys, it depends what it is. If there's pus in there, it's a problem by the kidneys. If it's clear water in there, it's not a problem by the kidneys. But that has no relevance to us by the lungs. And therefore, you are right, or the way I said it, and you agree with me, that's correct. And those Talmidim are quoting Rav Matno in the wrong location or about the wrong organ. Itmar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, ha-ka'azil bat-shrei de Rabbi Yirmiyah. Yitzchak bar Yosef was following Rav Yirmiyah. B'shuka de tabche. It was in the meat market, the meat shuk. Azinu lahanach de kaimin smich in tzamche tzamche. He saw some animals that had these growths on the lungs. So amalei lo bayimar umtza. He says to Rav Yirmiyah, don't you want to buy some meat? Because he wanted to see if he would say that this meat was kosher and take it. So he points it out. He says, why don't we buy this meat? Rabbi Yirmiyah responds to him, lately prite, I don't have any money on me, so I can't buy it. So he doesn't get the answer he wants. He wants to know if it's kosher or not. And we give him the answer, I don't have any money. He says, akfan, ana. He says, the butchers know me. They'll give me credit, so we can buy it on credit. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah's in a position where he could buy it. So Amalei, Mavidoch, says, what can I do for you? I'll have to explain to you my position over here. Dechiyatu the kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, when lungs of this sort were brought before Rabbi Yochanan, Mishadalhu the Kamei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, he would send these shilas over to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, the Moriba Mishmei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he would paskin about them in the name of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the Hetera, and say they were fine. But Velei lo Svirile, Rabbi Yochanan himself did not hold of that. He was besafek, and therefore he didn't want to eat them. Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to be machshir them. He didn't want to be machif them, because he didn't have any mesora that was the fact, but he was uncomfortable with it. So anytime someone came to him with the shilas, he'd send it to the Rav that was Matir, but he himself was uncomfortable. And Riria says that I'm a Talmud of his, and since I'm a Talmud of his, I can't be Matir this. So I can't say it's Osir, I can't say it's a Treifa, but myself, I won't eat it because I know that Rabbi Yochanan had an issue with it. Amarava, Kiyava Mezginan, Batrader of Nachman, when I was going behind or walking behind Rav Nachman, Beshuka de Galdai, in the leather marketplace, in the Leatherman's marketplace, or Vamrila b'shukah de Rabbanon, in the shuk of the Rabbanon where they shopped. Chazei hanach de kaimin kande kande. I saw lungs that had kande kande. As Rashi says, that they're tzmachim gidolim, that had these large growths on them. V'lo amar lehu v'lo mide. He saw them, and he left them there, and he didn't say that they were treifot. Rabbi Ami Ravasi Abu Chalfei b'shukah de Tveria. Rav Ami and Ravasi were walking through the Shukot Veria. Hazi Anach the Kaimei Tinare Tinare. He saw that they were lungs that had Tinare Tinare on them. These are what it would be, large and hard growths on the lungs. Rashi says, Tzmachim Gdolim Mikande Vekvar Hukshu Kesela. There's hard as rocks now. The Eluhein Otana Mutsuyim B'mehemel Chalenu. And we find evidence of a lot of these in our animals. Berea, Vein Mariam Dome L'Rea. They don't look like the lung itself. Odomim Kamere Mugla. They look like a pussy substance. The Lav Hainu Atum Berea. That's not something where the lung is blocked. The Atum Ein Sham Tzemach. There's no growth when it's blocked. Veinu Mishtane Minarea. And it doesn't change. It's the same color as the lung itself. El Sheinu La Benefiha. It blocks. It creates a blockage there. It's part of the lung. Looks like the lung, and it creates a blockage there. That's not what we're speaking about over here. The other one is totally dried out. That looks different than the long, and it's not causing any blockage in the inflation. And they didn't say anything there. So in all these cases, we have tamche, tamche, kande, kande, and the tinori, tinori. All of them were leheter, except, of course, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, where the tamche, tamche were problematic. Right now, the Gemara continues. Itmar, the Gemara now enters into something that is somewhat difficult. We'll see more of this and more explicitly that this idea that Chazal believed that there was some sort of connection between the respiratory and circulatory systems, that items were able to move between the two systems and therefore pass between the organs. Whether that can happen in reality is somewhat questionable, but we're going to go along with that assumption that there can be movement between the respiratory and the circulatory systems. Sidmar, machat shenimtzat bereya. We found a needle inside the lungs. Rabbi Yochanan, Vira Belazar, Rabbi Chanina Machshire. We have three that are Machshir. Bishim ben Lokish, Rabbi Mani bar Patish, Rabbi Shim ben Eliyakim Tarfe. They say that it's a treifa. Lema b'hakam iflagate. Maybe this is what they're arguing about. Demar savar chisaron mifnim shmei chisaron. This is something that we discussed before. That when there's the internal part of the lung is missing, that's considered chasera and problematic. So over here too, the needle that's in there is cutting away or destroying part of the internal lungs. So maybe it's a chisaron, it's problematic. Umar sever lo shmei chisaron. And the other ones, lo shmei chisaron. Meaning that Reish Lakish and his chevra, that it's a treifa. They believe that the needle created a problem because now there's a chisaron. Rabbi Yochanan and his chevra believe that the needle or chisaron bifnim is lo shmei chisaron. Where it says lo. The kuliyama chizron bifnim lo shmei chizron. Now we saw before, when the lung liquefies like a kaiton shomayim, that that's not considered to be chisaron, so everybody holds that. Their argument is the source for this needle. Marsavar simpona nakat vatai. One of them holds, meaning the position of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's kasher, says that the needle came in through the respiratory system, through the windpipe. Somehow, the needle entered by inhaling, and it came down the windpipe. And the reason it's inside the lungs now is because it passed through the windpipe into the bronchi, and now it's situated in the flesh of the lungs. Umar Sabar, Rish Lakish, and his chevra believe, no, that it came through the intestine, that it was swallowed, it was ingested, and the only way it can get from the digestive system into the rea, into the lungs, is by puncturing the digestive system as well as puncturing the lungs. So for certain, there's a puncture here, because that's the only way this needle could have come from the digestive system into the lungs. They found a cut. They were cutting up the lungs. When they cut up the lungs, they found a needle embedded in it. They brought it in front of Rabbi Ami. He wanted to be machshuret, because we have before machlokas between three Amorim and three Amorim, but it's machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and Allah is ki Rabbi Yochanan. So we want to be machshmir like Rabbi Yochanan. Eitavei Rabbi Yirmiya, vitema Rabbi Zriga, hareya shenikva, osher chaseira, mai. If you have lungs that are punctured or missing, then they are problematic. They're a trefa. That's our Mishnah. So my chasera, what's the chasera here? Ilem bechutz, it's missing from the outside. Hanu nikva, it's no worse than having a nekev. A nekev is just the smallest form of chasera. Elav mi bifnim, it must be that we're missing internally. And there, shvarmina, chisron bifnim, shmei chisara. That an internal missing of the lungs or wasting away of the lungs is problematic. So how could you be matur over here? Hadar shadwila kameh derabi yitzchok nafka. They sent it over to Rav Yitzchok Nafka. Now, truthfully, Rav Ami didn't send it over to Rav Yitzchok Nafka because the question that was asked here. We already answered this question on the previous daf. We said that it's Rabbi Shimon. That's on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and that the Chachamim don't agree with this. They don't need that at all. It's not in the sheet of the Chachamim. So we could have answered. It's not because of the weight of this question that he passed it on, but because of another suffix, and we'll see that in a second. Savar lach shurei. Again, Rabbi Yitzchok Nafka wanted to be matirit. Eitvei Rabbi Yirmi abitemi Rabbi Zrika. The same question was posed. Areyash nikva u shechaseira. My chaseira. What's this missing? Ilim rebachutz, it's chasrei outside. Hainu nikva. That's no worse than a hole. Bifnim, must be that it's chaser bifnim, shomayin yachisron bifnim, shmei chisron. Hadarsha drew al the kamei de Rabbi Ami. Now here it's a question about what the girsa is. If the hadarsha the kamei de Rabbi Ami means that it came back to Rabbi Ami, the question came back to Rabbi Ami, and that seems to be the girsa of Rashi. That's what Rashi seems to indicate here, that it went around and it came back again to Rabbi Ami. The other alternative girsa in the Shita Mekubetzit is hadar shadru al the kamei de Rabbi Yitzchak Nafko, that it came back to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafko, not to Rabbi Ami. Betarfo, and then he passed on the treifa. Amri lei. Don't we have Rabbi Yochanan and his chevra that say it's a kasher? Why are you making it to a tray for here? They were machshir over there because they knew where the needle came from. They saw the lungs. The lungs are intact. There is no puncture in the lungs, and there's a needle inside. So the underlying assumption is that the needle came through the respiratory system, and that's how it got into the lungs. Anon, we, ezotam nachshir. How can we know how this needle came in here? Maybe if we had the whole lung in front of us, there would have been a puncture, and if there's a puncture in it, we know for certain that it came from the outside. So since we only have a section of the lung and a cut of the lung, we can't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. You can only paskin like Rabbi Yochanan when you're sure that when you inflate the lungs, there's no hole. Then we assume that the needle came from the respiratory system and didn't puncture the lung. On the other hand, if we don't have all the lungs in front of us, you have a problem now. You have a riuto here, which is we don't know. But there's a possibility that the piece that's missing had a hole in it. It entered through the piece that's missing, and we don't have that here. So time of delay, though. The fear is because we don't have it. Ha'ita velo min kavak shera. But if it was in front of us, and it was minat minukav, it would be kshera, like the psaka of Rabbi Yochanan. Vama Rav Nachman, can you really say that? Rav Nachman said, ha'simpona dreya de inkav treifa. That if one of the bronchi is punctured, then it's a treifa. Well, now you're suggesting that this needle entered through the trachea of the windpipe, went through the bronchi, and then entered into the flesh of the lungs through the bronchi. Well, the only way for it to do that is to puncture one of the bronchi and then go into the flesh of the lungs. So if that's the case, Rav Nachman says if you have a puncture in the bronchi, you have a trefa in your hands. So Mimonov Shachit should be a trefa here. When it says, how the chavero itmar. Rav Nachman's statement was said only at the point where the bronchi split. At the place where the bronchi split, it's very hard over there. Since it's very hard, if you have a hole in one of the bronchi, it does not get sealed up. Further along the bronchi, they are in the soft tissue of the lung. And therefore, there's a hole there, the soft tissue will fill it in and cause the hole to seal. So, Rav Nachman's statement is not relevant to us, because the possibility is that the needle went out the end of the bronchi, and then it sealed itself up with the soft tissue that's there. V'amar Rav Nachman, haya dura dekanto, dinkiv lahade chavrei, right? Chavero meginale. Wait, don't we have, Rav Nachman have a statement by the intestines that roll over each other. If one of them is punctured, the fats and the wall of the other part of the intestine actually covers it up, and it's not a trefa. So if you have a hole in the intestines via trephoid, it has to be on the outer walls, the outer edge of the intestines. Anything that's encompassed by the other intestines will get covered up and sealed. So why over there, when we say his friend, the intestine can cover it up, and over here, we're not saying that his friend, the bronchi, can cover it up. So Amar Rav Ashi, trephoid kamed dami l'hadadi? How can you compare trephoid? Trephoid, first of all, halacha l'moshe misinai, number one. Number two is, each trephoid is an independent case. You can't compare them because, ain't omrim b'trephoid zu d'lum azu. We don't compare trephoid and say, well, this is what happens by the intestines. That should be true by the lungs. Because each organ is independent. Each system is independent. And the tissue that's around them is different. Because you can cut the leg. This is what Rashi says. If you cut the leg above the bone and above the tzomet agidim, higher up on the leg, the animal will live and won't be a trepha. Yet if you cut the bone or break the bone or cut it by the tzomet agidim, which is lower down, which is counterintuitive, the animal will die and be a trepha. So here you have a case where it's you cut up higher and it's a trepha. You cut lower down on the leg and it's considered to be ksheira, which is counterintuitive. So you can't prove anything. Trephot are its own world and each trepha its own world. So now we have another case. They found a needle in the large bronchi, the largest of the bronchi, what Rabbi Shimon calls Beidat Simpono, Besimpono Rabo Dereya. Vatzula Kameh de Rabbonon, Trophai. And they brought it in front of Reish Lakish and his Chevra that say when you find a needle in the lungs that it's a Trepha. Lo Amro Ba, Lo Isser, Velo Heter. They weren't willing to pass in the Isser or the Heter. Heter Lo Amri Ba, Kimishma Tayu. They didn't want to be Matir because of their Memra, that the only way for the needle to get into the lungs is through the digestive system. There must be a problem. Isur namilo rabba, but they weren't willing to go all the way and say it's a sur. Came into simpona rabo ishtakach because they found the needle in the large bronchi. Ema simpona nakat vatai. The overwhelming evidence is that it came through the respiratory system. It came down the windpipe. Be very unlikely that the needle came all the way in from the outside and then penetrated into the largest of the bronchi. That doesn't seem likely. If it's in the flesh of the lungs, fine. But for it to penetrate all the way into the largest of the bronchi, that seems unlikely. So since both situations are unlikely, we say, lo li yisir v'lo l'heter. Hay machto, tishtakach b'chaticha dekavdo. They found this needle inside a cut of the liver. Savar marbrei de Rav Yosef the mitrefo. He wanted to make it into a trefo. So I'm a Rav Ashi. Ilu ishtakach b'bisra. If you found this needle in the regular flesh of the animal, ki agav na b'torif mar? Would you make it a trepha? Why is the liver different than any other flesh? By any other flesh, you find a needle in it, it's kasher, kavda too. The kaveh, the liver, only is a trepha when it's missing. But if you have a needle in it, that's not a problem. Alam Ravashi, chazina, I kupa the bar, nukubi naki vate. We look, the kupa is the loop. Here we're having a needle, like a sewing needle, which has a large loop in the side where you thread the string through, and the other side is very sharp. So if the loop side, which is the wider, fatter side of the needle, not the point of the needle. If the fatter side's on the outside and the needle is pointing into the liver, then we say it's problematic because the assumption is how did it get into the liver? It came from the outside. The only way for it to come from the outside is to go through the intestines, puncture the intestines, and then go into the liver. So there we have a puncture in the intestines, and that's a problem. E kupa le gav, on the other hand, if the wider side is on the inside and the point is facing outward, then simpona nakat vatai. It came through a vein. It came through an artery or vein. Now again, the assumption here is that it was inhaled. It went through the respiratory system. Somehow it passes through the lungs without creating a puncture in the lungs. So that means it enters into the circulatory system from the respiratory system without creating any puncture in the lungs. And then it came into the kaveh. That's how it came into the liver. And that's why it's kosher here, because nothing was punctured. The lungs weren't punctured, and neither were the intestines. And it went into the kaveh. The liver being punctured is not a problem. So that would be why it would be kosher if we find it in that direction. Again, this is a very problematic chazal. There's tons been written about it. I'm not going to enter it now. I'm just making you aware of the fact that this crossover between the respiratory and the circulatory system was the science of the times in the time of chazal. It was the science in the times of the Rishonim. It's only much later with the discovery that there was a separation between the circulatory and respiratory systems, that the vena cava and the pulmonary arteries, even though they go by the lungs, that they're not actually physically attached and there's no doorway between them. That was much later science after the time of the Gemara and the Rishonim. So the argument made by many is that the Chachamim were working with the science of their times, and so they assume that you can pass from the respiratory to the circulatory systems. There are others that argue against that the Chachamim knew, and nevertheless, they came up with these situations or possibilities where this could happen. The Gemara says, Vahani mile balimta. This is only true of a large needle. Aval katinta, if you're talking about a small needle, lo shna kupa le gav, lo shna kupa le bar, nukubi nakiv. Over there, we don't worry about it because it can move. Either side is sharp. Even the side that has the hole to thread in it is sharp. And today, if you take many of the sewing needles, very, very narrow sewing needles, even the side where you thread the string, it's sharp on both sides. And therefore, it can puncture with both sides. So it doesn't matter which side is facing in or out. We assume that the most likely path for it is through the intestine. And since that's the most likely path, we assume that it punctured the intestine, and that's how it got here. Now, as Rashi points out, that we will make assumptions that make sense. Over here, the most likely scenario is that it came through the intestine. Unless we have evidence to the contrary, we'll assume that's what happened. But like, for instance, in the lungs, where we have the needle come into the lungs, and now we found it in the flesh of the lungs, we don't assume that it punctured bronchi in a place where it can't seal up, because we have no evidence of that fact. We're not going to be mocking it in something that we don't know about. Only if we know something's true in general. Like here, where most cases where the needle comes in, it's going to come through the intestines, then we'll make such an assumption, we'll make such a chazaka. But to assume that something happened that makes it a trefa, we won't do unless there's evidence to that case. So therefore, if we find it in the lungs, we don't assume it punctured the bronchi in the wrong place. On the other hand, if we find it in the liver, and it could have punctured, and the most likely scenario is it came through the intestine, that's what we're going to assume, that that's what happened. And why is this different than a needle that's found in the walls of the reticulum? If it only punctured the inner membrane, it's kshera. If it also punctured the outer membrane, then it's a trefa. And there we don't go and test. We don't test which direction it came in, even if it was just the inner membrane that punctured. But if the needle's facing in, it means it came from the outside. It means it had to go through the outer wall. How come we don't ask that in that situation? Since that's part of the digestive tract, and there's pressure from the food and liquids that are there, even though it's not the sharp edge of the needle, they could push it through the inner membrane because of the pressure and the digestion that's taking place there. But by the liver, you don't have that. The liver is a solid object, and therefore the only way it could come, if it's facing with the sharp into the liver, is from the outside, and that's why it'll be problematic. So that will distinguish between the case of a liver and the case of the reticulum. Now, Tosus points out over here, when we talk about these cases of the needle, don't say that the cases here are all when it's still outside, and therefore we're sure there's some sort of puncture. But if it's completely embedded in the liver, then we assume that it's fine. That says don't say that, because this applies even in a case where it's totally embedded inside the liver. And Tosus points out over here that this distinction of the direction of the needle is only by the kaved, by the liver, which is a solid item, and does have very much space to push through, and therefore you need something sharp to move it into the liver. On the other hand, when you find a needle in the lungs, Rabbi Yochanan, who was machshir before, will be machshir no matter which way the needle is facing, because the bronchi have a lot of space for the needle to come through, so it could have come through either on the point facing down or the other way around. Since it's easy for it to enter that way and there's plenty of space for it, we don't need it to have to penetrate with a point or a sharp edge. And Rashi points out that we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, that we assume if we find the needle totally embedded inside of the lungs, that it's kasher, with the qualification of Rabbi Ami in the end, who comes around to this conclusion that that's only when we have the whole lung in front of us, if we can see there's no puncture. But if we only have a section of the lung, and it's possible that the other section was punctured, then we can't come to any conclusion, we can't be machshir in that case. Okay, we'll stop over here.